Good morning. Thank you, Ian. Well, it's beautiful to be together. My name is Tim and I serve here as the senior pastor. Special welcome to you if you are new or visiting in person or online. It's great to be together. And I am continuing our Emotionally Healthy Spirituality series, 2 weeks on from part four, which was Journey Through the Wall. And that might be quite self-explanatory because the wall are the things in our life that we run into that are unexpected. And they cost us something and they often hit hard. And when we run into the wall, we either have a choice to recoil away from God or gravitate towards Him. And of course, I want to encourage you to gravitate towards Him. Today is the very easy topic of enlarging our souls through grief and loss. And a subtitle of surrendering to our limits. And this is an extension on that topic of when we hit the wall. Well, often it's about, and our response is grieving a loss, whatever it might be. And that is the unfortunate reality of the broken world in which we live. But fortunately, we have an amazing, good, faithful, sovereign God who actually gave His Son to die on a cross for our sins, for our very life, and also to send us the Holy Spirit who comes. And I don't know if you know this, but who comes and comforts, who advocates, who transforms, who gives wisdom, and who reminds. And so just before we jump into this easy topic, I want to pray. Is that all right? Holy Spirit, thank you that you are the part of the Trinity that has been in the world for the last 2,000 years. Jesus lived, died, rose again, ascended to heaven so that you, Holy Spirit, could come live within us that we might, through Jesus, become very temples of the Holy Spirit. So today, Lord, as you speak to us through this real topic that every person alive will grapple with, grief and loss, Lord, may it be the process through you that it might actually enlarge us in our wisdom, in our love for people, in our compassion towards people, in our understanding and empathy, rather than it be something that constricts us and makes us walk away. And so we come before you for that in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I love having Pastor Richard here. I was so moved by your prayer, Alex, and awesome to have Vivi and Miranda with you. I was moved and I didn't even know what you were saying. And I don't say that as a joke. I was going, I don't know what he's saying, but this is so moving. And then I love that you translated it for us. So thank you. I've also learned that I really need to step up my dress game in the colors that I'm wearing. I don't know about you, but it's almost like let's choose a few looks and go, right, I think the pastor should wear that like black and red jacket and the white turtleneck. Do you think I could rock that? I don't know. My wife is at home with one of our children who's not well and she's probably going, yes, you can. Yes, you should. Go for it. I wonder in your life if you've connected the dots that usually the most incredibly caring, wise, compassionate, and loving people and leaders have often been through the most grief, loss, and pain. And there might have been moments in their life that felt like the dark night, that felt like they ran into the wall, that felt like God wasn't there, but we know that He never leaves us or forsakes us. But we wonder when we face it ourselves, how did they keep going? And I want to equip you with that today. I just want to share a story. Some of you might know that a few years ago, my wife and then I went through a bit of a health journey. And right in the middle of that, when we were waiting on a diagnosis and then an ensuing operation, I'm happy to say that she is totally well, I went to a conference in Melbourne. And there is someone who is, I don't know what his role is, but a Church of Christ leader whose name is Philip Kwa, and it was his birthday the other day, and he introduced me to a church leader who was around my age. And we got to chatting, and he was the senior minister of a church, and he had two boys, and I have three, and we were chatting. He's going, how are you? And we're talking about ministry and life and all of those things, and I ended up, you know, feeling very welcome and cared for, kind of shared a little bit of my wife's health journey. And so we prayed together, and it was so powerful for me. You know, we're two pastors in a conference, which happens often, supporting each other, sharing a burden that not everybody can always understand, and kind of in tears, and it was amazing. And at the end of that short prayer time, he kind of decided to share something with me, which was that his wife had just passed away. And she was young, and it was sudden, and they had two young boys. And I'm sitting there just rocked about how well he could care for me and extend love in the midst of his grief. Grief is something we all have to navigate, and everybody navigates it differently over a different timeline often. And it's not faith and hope just to bottle it down and push it aside. It's actually faith and hope and wisdom and comfort that allows us to journey through it with God's help. But this man was incredible. He's continued to lead his church, love his boys, be supported by the community around him, and God has continued to support him, comfort him, walk him through that. He is an incredible man of faith. And even in his grief, and this is something that someone took away from what Tonya from Compassion shared last week, even in grief and hard circumstances, in Christ we can extend compassion. And you know, Compassion is a great name for an organization. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the greatest kind of most frequent emotion that Jesus had for people was he looked upon them with compassion. And we can extend that. But even Jesus knew, being fully man and fully God, that he couldn't do it without retreating to be with the Father. And so he did that. And it is he who empowers and multiplies. So we need to acknowledge our grief. We need to go to the Lord for comfort. We can extend compassion in what is in our hands, even in those moments. But we need to understand that we have limits and he has none. And with the meager thing we offer, he will multiply and do something amazing. Even in grief, even in loss, even in suffering, the Bible shows us this time and time again. How often do we see Jesus' friend dies? He cries and he goes and serves. Jesus is in the garden crying, saying to God, Lord, take this from me. This is going to hurt. This is going to be horrible. I don't want to go through this except for the joy set before me and your direction I will. This is the reality. Sometimes people see grief and loss as this totally alien thing that comes into our lives, but actually it's in those moments that C.S. Lewis said that God shouts to us. And in Christ, even what feels like the most brokenness, God can use it, bring transformation, multiply what's going on, and you look back and see how he has enlarged your soul and worked through you, even in what it is totally appropriate to acknowledge was one of the hardest moments of your life. I don't want to go through that health journey again with my wife, but I can see absolutely how God used it to enlarge both of us. You with me? Romans 5 says this. Let's check it out. Faith brings joy, even in grief, even in loss. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. The New International Version says sufferings, for we know that they help us develop endurance, perseverance. And endurance develops strength of character. How many people know that character is important? And God is much more concerned with our character than our comfort. Only Jesus lived a perfect life. But God is calling us to be men and women, boys and girls, young people of character with the foundation of Jesus Christ. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. Loss includes disappointment, loss of opportunity, loss of friendship, loss of whatever it might be, relationships. All of these things are part of this. But this hope in the salvation Jesus won for us will never lead us to disappointment. For we know, do we? Part of this series is wanting to help people understand that because God has emotions, you have them too. And some of those need to be confronted and transformed and changed. Some of them are there because God's saying, hey, there's an undealt thing in your life I want to deal with. Maybe you've gone through grief and loss, and it means that emotions like joy, like hope, like peace have actually gone so far that they feel fake to you. I want to ask you, do you know how dearly God loves you in through his what he's done in Christ Jesus? Because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. What are we doing tonight? We're coming together as a community, and there'll be connection in that, and it's beautiful. But we're not coming to have coffee. We're not coming to have food. We're coming to contend in prayer and worship, believing that the Holy Spirit who's been poured into our hearts, and that shows us the love of God and expresses the love of God in us, is moving us to pray for those who don't know Jesus. It's moving us to pray for those who God is drawing back. And it's inviting us to realize the extent of the freedom in the finished work of Jesus that we have. The Lord is Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We don't grow in happiness. We don't grow in comfort. We grow in freedom in the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, godliness, self-control. That's what we as a community of new creations are to be growing in. My message isn't that long today, but I want to summarize that. What did that just say? We have been made right with God and we have peace. We can have peace. We live in a place of undeserved privilege. Not because we live in Warrnambool, which is a pretty great place to live, but actually our identity, security, and future, our citizenship is in the kingdom of God, right? We rejoice in endurance-building problems, right? I'm rejoicing because I'm going to get bigger biceps. Take that as far as you want. Our character grows and strengthens hope. And do you know how much God loves us? How do we do this? Because the Holy Spirit reminds us and helps us to love others. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the wall, and the picture of the wall looked like this. Thank you, Fleur. You're doing a great job. And it's like in our faith journey, at some point, we're going to run into the wall. And the wall includes lots of different types of grief and loss and brokenness. And we can confront that because we have a hope in Jesus that does not ever fail or disappoint. But why is it that people run into the wall and either bounce off and run the other direction away from God, or they run into it and that's where they sit and that's where they stay? This is not the invitation we're invited to live out in Romans 5. The story of Job encapsulates that, and we're not going to go through it at length. But if you talk about loss, the story of Job kind of covers about all of it, right? I don't know if you know about it well. But in one day, Job, who is this patriarch, he's an incredible man of faith. He's like, if for that time, he's incredibly wealthy in every sense, family, wealth, possessions, health, faith, all of the above. And in one day, he loses 10 children. He loses his wealth. He loses his health. And then his wife chews him out and tells him to curse God. I wonder how many people have run into the wall and decided, fine, enough's enough, God's not good anymore. And we can sit there academically and say, hang on a minute, that doesn't make sense. How good has God been to you for all of your life, and then one thing happens and you're happy to curse him? Think about what happened to Job. He lost 10 children in one day. He lost all of his wealth. And this is not a man who was trusting in those things to fulfill or secure him. But he's still a man, right? He still faced grief. Sometimes, even though every single person goes through this, do you know the story of Job, it's been said, is the story of us all. It's just that for most of it, it happens on a more drawn out timeline. But there are some people who similar things have happened to. It seems like they've lost everything in the course of a day, or everything in the course of a week or a year. It's no less traumatic. And people will sit around you and say, what are you doing? God is not good. A God who allows that couldn't possibly be good. And it might be the people who are the closest to you. And yet this is what Job says. Job 1, 20 to 22, his response. At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Let me just pause there for a second. Sometimes we don't have a very good biblical understanding of the realities in this life that we face, like grief and loss and anxiety and depression and sadness. There's a whole book in the Bible called Lamentations, which is about saying, I'm sad because I've lost something or something is wrong. 2/3 of the Psalms are going, something is wrong. And it's not a lack of faith to acknowledge that. Actually, if you don't acknowledge it, that's the thing that you will get stuck at the wall about. And yet, in time, like Job is tearing his clothes, he shaves his head, he's sitting there in dust, and he's in ash, even worse, and he's scraping his body that has sores all over it, and people are like, I don't know, what do we do with that? Come on, mate, that's not faith. Snap out of it. God doesn't even do that. We're told, don't sin and curse God, but you are allowed to grieve. And we need to be compassionate towards people who are grieving, just as you can be compassionate as you yourself grieve. But then what are you going to do in your grief? Well, with God's help, you too can do this. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb. Me too, I don't know about you. And naked I will depart. All right. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. I don't know about you, but I want to grow in wisdom and love and compassion. And an unfortunate reality is that we face grief and loss, but God will use it to grow you into the person actually that he's designed you to be. And when the moment comes to help somebody else, it doesn't really matter how much is in your hand. It doesn't really matter if you have the right words. It just matters that you're willing to go, you're willing to offer, and you're willing to obey what God is asking you to do. Because that's trusting Him. Why is it though? And we need to ask the question, and I believe God gave me a picture that I want to show you today. Grief and loss causes some to curse and others to worship. It causes some to constrict and others to enlarge. What is that? It's all in our willingness to have this deep walk with God. And when we hit things, we're allowed to grieve, we're allowed to acknowledge, we're allowed to be honest, we're allowed to be authentic, but He calls us to go to Him. When you're hurting, the safest place to be is with Him. So I want to help you understand this. Everyone's like, why do you have an umbrella base and an umbrella? Well, this is us. Some people have said that, you know, without Jesus, it's like we're drowning. But the reality is, God didn't send Jesus to make bad people good. He sent Him to make dead people alive. So an umbrella is not meant for this. It's meant to be grabbed and stood up and put into a base, left-handed for a righty, that will hold onto it and secure it. Yes? And as that happens in Jesus, what binds us, which is sin, shame, death, is removed. David said in Psalm 40, verse 2, God takes me out of the mire and the clay. He sets my feet upon the rock and He gives me a place to stand. And so we're forgiven and we start to unfurl. Is this amazing? Because that's what we've been created to do. And Jesus makes it possible. And so He saves and gives us a foundation from which to live from. We no longer have to achieve anything, but He's given us work to do. We can't save ourselves, but He's done the saving. We don't even really know the gifting that He's put within us. I've made this interesting, haven't I? And yet He's in the business of unfurling and continuing to do that. I didn't check my surroundings, but we are all good. And so we continue to grow. We continue to unfurl. And that's an amazing thing. But you know what umbrellas have on them if they're well designed? They have a limit. Because we want to keep going. There's the limit. They have a limit and a purpose. And imagine, like, you're there now, glowing, alive, unfurled in Jesus, and people can come and sit under your shade. You can serve them. And the beauty of it is, as soon as they step under your shade, you know who they're getting close to? Yes, you, but ultimately, you're inviting them to stand on Jesus right with you. And so this is why we're doing this series, because some of us are stuck here. Some of us, if you don't know Jesus, you're invited to today. We'd love to talk to you at the end. Some of us previously unfurled like this and invited someone to come sit under us, and then grief and loss came. And what happened? We just shut up. And so not only do we stop providing the shade, but we've actually like captured or stuck another person maybe in the process. And so we're invited to fully unfurl. And I don't know what God is inviting. This is logistically challenging, but good fun. I don't know what God is inviting you to do today. But the reason we're doing this is, yes, to deepen our own walk with Jesus, but actually because just like Jesus, who came not to be served, but to serve, we're being invited to maybe deal with some things so that we might serve others. Isaiah 54:2, and you might know this, it says, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. We quite often have new people coming into church, and that's a beautiful thing. But God is inviting you, even if it's through grief and loss, to continue to be enlarged that you might be able to serve, walk alongside. No one's expecting you to be perfect, right? We make mistakes. But this is who God is inviting you to be. But I just want to give you a word of comfort, maybe a word of challenge. You have limits. God doesn't, but you have. I have, we have. It's pretty obvious. If I don't acknowledge my limits, me personally, I will burn out pretty quickly and I'm no longer in this role. Are you trusting a limitless God in acknowledging that you have limits? And it's not just acknowledging, it's actually surrendering. Because if you don't, the cost to yourself, the cost to your family, the cost to the very people you're trying to serve can be extreme. Like, don't we want to be these people? And these people are still people who are going to run into the wall. They're still people who are going to run into grief and loss. And you know what? That might bring us down a little bit for a moment because we grieve, but we have other people standing around us who are going to come in and encourage us. And God will continue to work, and even in grief, we can extend compassion. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. And I want to invite you, if any of this, if God is speaking to you in any of this, firstly, if you don't know Jesus, that's where you got to start. There's a hole in your life. Your grief and loss is actually the fact that you miss Him who you were created to have a relationship with. And He's the only one who can bring restoration. But then maybe you can connect with some of the things that I'm saying. You've been grieving a loss, or you've been living without limits, and you feel just like torn in every direction, stretched too thin, or maybe there's rips and tears and holes, or maybe, you know, like you've just become the umbrella that gets caught in too much wind and you've gone inside out and you're getting pulled every direction. We want to invite you to come and be prayed for today. And so in a moment, our prayer team is going to come up here. The camera will stop. We're just going to worship in this space. And tonight will be a ministry space as well. But one of the things of this series and our mission to grow authentic followers of Jesus is to acknowledge truthfully when God is speaking to us and saying, come. I want to finish by reminding you of Romans 5:5, it says this. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. Would you stand with me? I want to pray to close as we're going to sing. I invite anyone who's praying for people to please come forward now. I'm going to come and stand with you as well. But I want to pray, and then we're going to sing and come to the altar. Father, we acknowledge that in this world, we experience grief and loss. And Lord, we know people who've been through grief and loss, and they are huge people who can extend compassion, who are so wise, who are so loving. But we also know other people who've been through grief and loss, and they are constricted. They are bitter. They are stuck. And they can't love others well. We do not want to be those people. And so, Lord, would you minister to us today by your Holy Spirit? Lord, this series has brought with it challenges and discomfort. But the reality of this faith journey is that you've invited us to a risk adventure. It's the greatest adventure we could embark on. But in everything we do, Lord, you brought us out of the mire and the clay. You set our feet upon the rock and you gave us a place from which to stand and which to live and which to serve others. So today, Lord, would you do your work through your Holy Spirit and minister in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.